What does citizenship mean to you? There's the legal definition of what constitutes a citizen, someone who was born in this country or someone who became a citizen later in life. And then there's the thing it represents, belonging, civic duty, nationality. Fernanda Santos falls into the latter category. She became an American citizen after she married one. And that question of what differentiates her from so many other undocumented people she's written about in her years as a journalist here has been nagging at her lately. So she dove deep into the question of who is a citizen in a new piece for Guernica magazine. In it, she profiles Abril Gallardo, who is undocumented and lives here in Phoenix and organizes for the group Living United for Change, or LUCHA.
She was this young bundle of energy who seemed to have limitless aspirations and dreams and goals. And she did a lot of work registering people to vote and teaching people about the importance of being good citizens, of being voters, and saying to those who said, I don't have a voice because I don't have papers, no, you do have a voice and you can use others to be your voice. And the way you do that is by telling them about how important it is to participate in the political process.
And she says people like Abril transcend the neat divide between citizen and non-citizen. They were brought here illegally as children. They don't have legal status, but they've turned their situation into a source of power.
They have become leaders in their own communities. They have seen their parents struggle with the fact that they are undocumented. In Arizona in specific, we have an ugly history, if you will, with everything that happened during the tenure of Sheriff Arpaio. Also, several laws and voter-approved propositions that made it more difficult for undocumented immigrants to live and work here. And yet these people didn't buckle. These young people took these bad things that were done to them and turned them into a way of mobilizing others to speak for them and work for them. And to me, that work of going out there and explaining to people why participating in the process matters, why voting matters, why your voice counts, your vote counts, and it's a privilege to have the ability to do that, that alone, to be out there exposing themselves, telling their stories so that others can feel compelled to vote, others who have the right to vote because they are citizens in under the eyes of the law, to me is so brave and so American.
So let's talk about that that ugly Arizona history that you referenced there. You say that this is sort of blamed on people like Joe Arpaio or like on President Trump right now, but its roots go much deeper. Tell us a little bit about where this all began.
Yeah, I said, you know, where does it start in Arizona? Where does this idea of white versus brown, and I'm using white as Anglo-Saxon and brown as Mexicans, Latinos, but primarily Mexicans. And I spoke with Dr. Christine Marin from ASU. She told me and opened a lot of doors that then led me to read a bunch of different things about how this division really began when the pioneers were coming from the East, Anglo-Saxon people, coming into an area that was inhabited by indigenous people. And we know that is an ugly part of history, too. Mm-hmm. And also where many Mexicans already lived. They had come from Mexico. And so the idea of home land ownership and the idea of power through land ownership started to create these separations. And the idea of American came, follow these Anglo-Saxons who came from the East. And that alone, that they started calling themselves Americans, separated, created a second class of citizens. And one really interesting thing was in 1920, there was a directory done for the city of Phoenix. And there was an ad basically saying, come move to Phoenix, this new place where, you know, grapefruit grows in November. It was like Shangri-La. It was this beautiful, you know, like it never rains, it's always sunny, and it's great for your health. And guess what? It's a nice town of 40,000 people that where there are very few Negroes, Mexicans, and foreigners.
It said that in the ad.
It said that in the ad. Wow. It's available. I have a copy. You know, it is real. And I thought, wow, you know, there were people coming here because of that. Mm-hmm. And I think for a while, and still to this day, I believe there are people who come here with the illusion that this is a state that's primarily a white state, which is
even
not.
Though at one point it was Mexico, at one point it was indigenous land.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. So you write about, though, that this is changing now, right? Like the definition of minority is changing. It will soon be, you know, whites are the minorities in
right.
this country. But you say this caste system, right, that white people have created is persisting and is persisting even though there is sort of this rising movement of empowerment from people like Abril. And do you think this is changing?
I absolutely think it's changing. And I think that whenever there is some threat to the reigning power, the reaction is always to fight back. A lot of times you fight back with guns. Other times you fight back with laws.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that this state in recent history has found to put the lid on the rising Latino population. But to me, it's not a beneficial thing to anybody in Arizona, anybody in this country, because it's not just Arizona that's changing. Arizona is ahead of most of the country, if not all of the country, in the way that that the Latino population has grown. But this is the future of the state. This is the present of the state already, because Latinos are about a third of the population, and it's definitely the future of the state.
Mm-hmm.
So then the question becomes, do you invest against them today and then leave the future for others to deal with? Or do you start aligning yourself with them and seeing how you can prop them up? And in doing that, propping up your entire state, the state where your children will grow in or your grandchildren will grow in.
So I want to go back to the beginning of the piece as we kind of close this out. So you begin this piece with this powerful statement. You say the story of Arizona is rooted in fear. And you talk about the ways in which you were part of that narrative, covering these kinds of stories for the New York Times and for other publications. And I wonder if this piece and this evaluation of citizenship for you and what this means after you've been in Arizona for some time is sort of you reckoning with that.
Oh, absolutely. I had been bothered by the fact that all of this that we're talking about here, all of these thoughts were in my head, had been in my head, and that I didn't have the right outlet to talk about that.
Right, because as a journalist, you're unbiased, you're detached,
you're
just reporting the news.
Exactly, just the facts, ma'am, you know, and you put the emotions through the stories of the people you talk about, but you can only go so far.
Yeah.
You can't put yourself out there. You can't show your colors. And I think that these days, it's important to show our colors. You know, I am not advocating for any type of politics here. I am simply latching onto the humanity that I have experienced through the lives of these people, and then evaluating my own life as mm-hmm. I see them, becoming a better citizen because I have learned from them, and also wondering what kind of opportunities are we missing out on by not empowering them even more, and what type of place can Arizona be if it opens itself up to more people like Abril and Manny?
So you are a citizen, as you said.
I am.
Because you married a citizen. You are also an immigrant.
Yes.
So I want to talk about what you talked about at the end of the piece, which is this idea of how you define citizenship. So from your own experience of this and from now you're reporting on this, how do you define it?
I think citizenship is the ability to love and serve the place where you feel you belong. Belonging is, to me, more important even than citizenship, because you can be a citizen of this country and not feel as if you belong here. You can also be a non-citizen of this country and feel that this is your country.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's so powerful, to know that the laws are not on your side, yet this is where you want to be. This is where you want to go to school, where you want to do good work, where you want to raise your kids and be a good citizen. So I have reckoned with that. I'm from Brazil. I grew up there. I came to this country. I was 25. I've been in Arizona for, it's going to be 7 years this summer. And I stayed in this country because I married a citizen who died in Arizona in 2017. So at that moment, I thought my home was always my husband. I belong wherever I was because I was with him.
Yeah.
And now, where do I belong? Where is my home? And then I look at my daughter, who was born in New York, but only knows Phoenix as a home because she was 3 when we moved here. And she says, Mommy, this is home. I love Phoenix. She loves our home. She loves our friends. And so I'm starting to think, like, maybe this was all sort of meant to be, that one day I would be here to discover the true meaning of being a citizen is not so much what the law says, but it's what it's in your heart.
Fernanda Santos, thank you so much.
Thank you.